fullback into the punter. I've never really seen something like that happen on punt before. My goodness, that left me audibly shocked. Eric Johnston. Looking like Lou Ferrigno's Hulk, smashing his way into the backfield. It's going to be first and 10 for the Gaels from the Queen's 42-yard line. Freakin has got trips on the left-hand side. He's going to try and find Russell Weir, but that pass gets batted down by one of the big guys on this Western defensive line. So with 4 minutes to go here in the second quarter, after an outstanding wave of emotion, things have calmed a bit here, and we are now locked in something of a top-quality stalemate between these two teams. Queen's getting it done through the air, Western getting it done on the ground. 6 points separate them, and that's about it. No daylight to be found between either of these outstanding programs. Freakin has got trips on the left-hand side. Russell Weir in motion to the right. Jared Kasari, he's either going to slip in or he's going to stay for pass blocking as Freakin is running for his life, rolling right, and he's going to keep this one, and he's going to pick up a first down. Slide, Alex, slide! As the Western defense, unable to accommodate and deal with the son of a sixth-grade teacher, the brother of some basketball studs. He never intended to be here, but we're glad he is. Alex Freakin, so far, has been the heart and soul, the lifeblood, the driving pulse of this Queen's offense, and he just got 12 the hard way to give the Gaels a first down just over the midfield mark as the Queen's coaches admonish what they felt was an improperly attributed no-call for the Western Mustangs. Freakin dropping back to pass. He's got time, but he's on the run again. He's going to find Jack Ashby Jacobs, but I am pretty confident that he's out of bounds, and he is indeed. Good call by the officiating staff there. It was close, but Jack Ashby Jacobs, he caught it, but he could not keep his feet inside the white chalk lines. Good call there by, honestly, the officiating crew, I think, has been quite solid today so far. Freakin on his slide. It was a bit of a late attempted hit from the Mustangs, which in 2023 is what took Freakin out for the season, if you do recall. But, it was a fair no-call all the same, and I think that was the right call there. This Queen's offensive line need to tighten it up a bit. That's two straight plays where your QB1 has been running for his life. They gave him time, but the Western defense was solid. Oh, and that's going to be another penalty on the Gaels offense. That one's going to move him back five, and that's going to hurt. It's 16-10 for the Gaels with 2 minutes and 46 seconds to go in our first half of football action. And my, oh my, my heart rate's already, I would imagine, into the 180 range. And we've still got a lot of football left to play. And if you've got friends, family, acquaintances, work, place, annoyances, anybody you know that has any interest in football, tell them to tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM, because we are rocking and rolling with game 102 between the Western Mustangs and the Queen's Gaels. It's going to be second and 15 from the Queen's 50-yard line. Freakin's going to drop back to pass again. He's going to find Jack Ashby Jacobs, and Jack Ashby Jacobs made two men miss before falling forward just ever so short of first down and distance. And I think if he had maybe cut it up a little bit sooner, we do have a flag down, and it is on the Gaels. And I'm assuming it's going to be accepted, because otherwise it sets up a second and very short. I missed the flag, folks. I had my eyes glued on the electrifying moves of Jack Ashby Jacobs as this offense is moving back again. It's going to set up second and 25 from the Queen's 41. Looks like the 42. So 10 yards back, second and 25. I imagine this is going to be a handoff to Jared Kasari. I don't think you push the ball downfield here, but hey, I could be wrong. I often am. Second and 25. Queens leads 16-10. It is going to be a handoff to Jerick Asari. Jerick Asari is finding some space, but ultimately is going to get them back to the original line of scrimmage, which will bring Matt Driver on to punt this ball away. And if you're Queens, you're thinking about what could have been as you were driving and playing quite well. And it's a tough thing. When you've got the advantage, you really need to press it against this Western team, because especially going into halftime, Greg Marshall is going to have adjustments and things that he can do to, well, basically shut you down. So you really want to try and get, well, the getting's good. And a couple costly penalties there will limit the Gales from doing exactly that. We have Roman Campanaro and Braden Missouri back deep to return. And Matt Driver gets a good punt here, fielded at the 14-yard line. As we have got some danger here from Roman Campanaro, who is going to go out just shy of the 25. A couple, well, the fans of the fans, they're not the officials, folks. Some, I would say, 50-50 type incidental contact there, but I think no call was the right call there. I'm not going to be screaming bloody murder on that one. I think that's pretty par for the course for punt return and punt coverage. So it'll be first and 10 from the Western 25 with 2 minutes and 6 seconds left in our first half of football action. Stay tuned for the Grad Club halftime show. We're actually going to be a synchronous show. First half covers the rich history between these two teams. Then I'll be live in the booth for part two. We're going to have a handoff to Ethan Dalby, and this Queens run defense, such an improvement. Good gain for the Mustangs, but Queens was there all the way on that one. You just have a big, nasty Western offensive line in front of you. It's going to be second and 5 from just in front of the Western 30-yard line as we are now into the 2-minute warning. And after a first quarter dominated by the Mustangs, the Gales railed back with 16 points of their own, 2 touchdowns and a safety. Second and 5, Evan Hillick with Ethan Dalby beside him. Hillick is going to drop back the pass. He's looking for the corner route for Seth Robertson, and he finds nothing but the finest Richardson Stadium turf. As it's going to be a punt situation, as this Queens offense gets the ball back, and it's like I talked about, you need to get while the getting's good, because otherwise Greg Marshall can give you fits with a halftime to make adjustments. But a classic brewing here at Richardson Stadium. This is what OUA and U Sports football is all about, and this is what CFRC is all about. So here we go, punt situation. Ian St. Arnaud, a couple solid returns, yet to really break one deep. But he's going to get a catchable ball here. Fielded at the 35, breaking back behind him, trying to cut this one up. Looking for any space he can find on the left-hand side. And he, oh, very nearly had the seam he needed for 6. But he's pulled down, rolling, tumbling like an acrobat, taken down for what will ultimately be probably 8 yards of forward progress after about 30 yards of lateral movement. So less than 90 seconds to go here in our first half of action. Alex Vraken, he has been so strong in this first half. Last drive undone by several penalties. Need to tighten up mentally here. Isaiah Adams with him in the backfield. Vraken under pressure again. He's rolling. There is a hold. Just get rid of the ball. Just get rid of the ball. Vraken is going to take a hit from behind as another holding call on this Queens offensive line. And that's what happens when you commit to the pass, is your guys have got to be able... Oh, my goodness. And Vraken taken down from behind, and he's down. He's on the turf on a nothing play. As you could hear a pin drop here at Richardson Stadium, this is a kid that's dealt with so much injury adversity over his career. And right as he was playing the best game of his career so far, he gets taken down from behind, he lands awkwardly, and he is on the turf. Ah, it makes me sick. Not a dirty hit by any means, folks. Let me just clarify that. Totally clean football play. It just really sucks for this kid. And I knew it from the way he landed, it was going to be a shoulder. And I would suspect that's exactly what it is. He's making his way off the field, mostly under his own power. We're hoping he's okay. And it looks like he's got mobility. So it may not be a serious thing. May have just had the wind knocked out of him, but oh, that's frustrating. Oh, that's frustrating. I just feel for the kid. So it'll be number 7, Anthony Leo, in the ballgame for Queens. Had a strong second half of 2024. Kept him in against the Laurier Golden Hawks. And it looks like Braken may end up being okay. We're hoping this is a precautionary thing. I would keep him out for the rest of the half. Give him some time to recover at halftime. I just hope the kid's all right. Man, oh man. Sucks seeing an injury for any team, folks, but especially when it's your own. Anthony Leo in the ball game, as he airmails that one to Jack Ashby Jacobs, bringing up 2nd and 20. And the Gales need a big play here to get this crowd lit up once more. When Richardson is rocking, the Gales are galloping. And right now, both teams have slowed to a snail's pace. With 1:14 to go here in our first half of football action. So let's see what Anthony Leo can do. Played well last year, has got all the tools to be a great quarterback. And he's going to complete one to Cedric Smith a bit high. And Cedric Smith will get back to the original line of scrimmage. So we're going to see another punt, and Western will have a chance to put points on the board here before halftime. Credit to Anthony Leo. First throw, over the head. Second throw, still a little high, but much more catchable ball. Picks up some positive gravity, some positive momentum. And as Western calls a timeout to get as much time as possible to get something going before halftime, I'm looking to see if I can glance a glimpse at Alex Braken. And he looks like he's okay, folks. Whew. Big exhale there, big cat stretch from me. Thank you to our second quarter sponsor, Old Farm Fine Foods. Let me give you the rundown on them before we play the final minute of our first half football action. Look, folks, I go to Old Farm pretty much every time I'm on campus, 3-4 times a week. Let me give you the inside scoop. Sausage roll, delicious. Anything that Nancy makes specifically, like the special items, it's a must-buy. She made like a delicious, it was like a devil's food cake pudding type. It was delicious. It was wonderful. The coffee, some of the freshest and finest in Kingston. I know, I'm a lot to listen to, but even that is a great energizer for somebody like me who is naturally so full of energy. Go out of your way to make a trip down to Old Farm Fine Foods. They're lovely people. Open Monday through Saturday. Don't show up on Sunday. Doors are closed. It's locked. Matt Driver with the punt fielded at the 30-yard line. Oh, and Ashton Miller-Melanson and Keegan Vanek. A pincer-type movement. They collapse on the returner to shut that one down. One, maybe a half yard gained, as we have 59.1 seconds left in a situation eerily similar to what we saw in 2023. Almost identical starting field position. Stakes not quite as high at the moment, but Western with another chance to send a shockwave of sorts straight through my arteries and heart. Is it going to be deja vu all over again? Or can the Gales change the narrative here at Richardson Stadium? Less than a minute to go in our first half. 6-point ball game. Hand off to Ethan Dalby. And Dalby is going to be tackled up by Justin Pace and James Banger Gillingham. So good play on first down. Picks up about 6 yards running through the heart of this Queens defense. It's actually going to be 2nd and 3 as Western is going to be in turbo mode. Hurry, 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 hurry hard for the Western Mustangs. Less than a minute to go in our first half. Trailing by 6. Chance to steal some momentum going into halftime in this huge opening week contest, as that is going to be a completion from Evan Hillick to Braden Mazzieri. And credit to him, he put that ball exactly where it needed to be. If that was even 6 inches to the left or right, that might have been coming back the other way. So far, the only turnover in the game has been generated by the Mustangs, an early Alex Braken interception, but Braken has been spectacular after that. We're hoping he's okay. Got a bit shook up there at the end of that last drive. Hillick dropping back to pass. First and 10. He's going to find Seth Robertson. And Robertson had a great angle there on Justin Pace and Ashton Miller-Melanson. And he will go out of bounds with first down yardage. Or are they going to call him just about 15 inches short? So it's going to be second and a little over a yard from just over the midfield mark. Certainly need about 10, 15 more yards to get in range for Brian Garrity. He's hit his only field goal attempt so far on the game. As Queens looks for energy from the Richardson faithful. Hand off to Ethan Dalby. Dalby is met in the backfield by OJ, and then Justin Pace and Keegan Vanek. Three of the key players on this Queens defense collaborate for a crucial stop, keeping it, I believe, third and short. No gain. Third and a foot and change to go. As they're bringing in the beef, Garong Ugwak and banger James Gillingham enter the ball game. What a debut defensive start for James Gillingham. He's been all over the field, mostly was used as a long snapper last season, but he has been so key to this linebacking unit. Although it looks like they're going to bring in Jeremy Hiscox for some added bulk. Another last second swap as Western uses their final timeout. 24 seconds to go here in our first half of football action. Stay tuned for our grad club halftime show. And this is all your big guys, all your beef on the field right now for 1 yard and a cloud of dust. You know, if you're a tabletop guy, these are units that have limited movement, and sometimes you got to roll to even activate them. That's the kind of guys we're talking about here. Big, mean, strong dudes. And this is Lou Meadows-style football. Give it to your fullback and let him try and pick up a yard. But it's going to be Jerome Rancor. However, a flag is down, thrown at the line of scrimmage. So this is either offsides on Queens or procedure on Western. One is a first down for the Mustangs, and one is likely a punt going to the Gales. Let's see who committed the infraction. It's on the Gale. So Western picks up some free first down yardage there. To be honest with you, they were probably going to pick it up anyways. Jerome Rancor has been historically tremendous on those short and very short situations. The guy's 6'3". He falls forward. He picks up a first down. It's not rocket science, but boy, is it effective. So here we go. First and 10 from just over midfield. Western on offense. Evan Hillick has got time, but he's finally being pursued as he's going to rifle this one to Braden Missouri, but ultimately out of bounds. As we have 11.7 seconds left, one, maybe two plays to go here in our first half of football action. And Queens leads by a score of 16-10. And after an explosive start to our second quarter, things have slowed down a bit. Not necessarily a bad thing when you're the home team, because you're going to have that energy and that natural edge kind of built in. Second and 10, just over midfield. Western looking for something strong to end a action-packed first half as Hillick running for his life completes it to Braden Missouri. But he is going to be short of first down yardage as head coach Steve Snyder, I've rarely seen him so vexed, perturbed, and peeved. Throwing a fit about something, and we're not talking about fashionable fall clothing. This man is throwing a fit in the traditional sense of the word. You can tell. I don't go on TikTok, but boy, is my repertoire certainly varied and diverse. As we've got one more play to go in this first half, and it looks like a penalty has been issued to the Mustangs and has been accepted in kind by Coach Steve Snyder. I'm not sure if the admonishment mattered, but it certainly made him feel better. So Western backed up in almost the exact same position they were in 2023 as a wave of queasiness washes over me. 4.2 seconds left in our first half, so This ain't the ball game one way or the other, folks. But if Western scores here, they will have the definitive grasp on the momentum heading into half two. If Queens stops them, it's going to be a handoff, and it's going to be tackled up to end our first half of football action. And what a first half it's been. I hope you'll stay with us for the Grad Club halftime show. It'll be in two parts, folks. We have got a part looking at the history of the Queens and Western rivalry. I think it's some of my finest work. And then we'll be back live for all the information that you could ever want, need, or use. All right, folks, 1610, a classic on our hands here at Richardson. I hope you will stay tuned, because coming up next, we got the halftime show.
Thank you to our second quarter sponsor, Old Farm Fine Foods. Stocking only the finest in locally sourced goods, Old Farm Fine Foods has a sterling reputation for the products it carries and its customer service. Swing by 204 Berry Street Monday through Saturday to get a taste of the farm in the heart of downtown Kingston.
Did you know that the Grad Club also offers outstanding catering options for your events? They offer a wide variety of meal options, including plenty of vegetarian and vegan alternatives.
Old Farm Fine Foods has a
more information about their new catering menu can be found at gradclub.ca.
Swing by 204 Berry Street Monday through Saturday to get a taste of the fun. You're listening to Gale's Game Day on CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you to our second quarter
coming up next,
Old Farm Grad Club Halftime Show. Stocking only the finest in locally sourced goods, Old Farm Fine Foods has a sterling reputation for the products it carries and its customer service.
Location. Located in the heart of Queens University
Swing
campus,
by 204 Berry Street Monday through Saturday to get a taste of the farm in the heart of
the Grad Club and its staff pride themselves on creating a safe, inclusive space for all. Interested in booking your next event, function, or study group? Head to the Grad Club.
Thank you to our second quarter sponsor, Old Farm.
We are halfway through the 102nd matchup between
Stocking
your Queens Gales
the
and
finest
their most
in locally sourced goods.
Old Farm
commemorate
Fine 100
has a sterling reputation for the products it carries and its customer service.
Offers something of a condensed history.
Swing by 204 Berry Street Monday through Saturday to get a taste of the farm in the heart of downtown
Kingston. We begin at the end of the Roaring Twenties, October 19th, 1929 to be exact. The Gales and the Mustangs clashed for the first time at the original Richardson Stadium on Queens University main campus. At the time, the first iteration of Richardson had just celebrated its 8th birthday. The American stock market was just under a week away from experiencing a major crash that would lead to the Great Depression, and the Western Mustangs were in the middle of their first season playing organized football. Amidst the backdrop of growing unrest and chaos in North America, the Gales prevailed 25-2. These teams would rematch a short time later, with the Gales winning 14-0. That 1929 team would actually end the season by clinching the program's 8th Yates Cup victory with a win over another longtime rival, the University of Toronto Varsity Blues, at home by a score of 15-5. The 1920s marked the first real golden era for the Gales, with a Grey Cup three-peat and some Yates Cup victories sprinkled throughout the decade as well. Credit to Western, they were quick learners, as the 1930s marked a rapid ascension to powerhouse status for the Mustangs. They clinched their first Yates Cup in 1931 and closed out the decade with a victory in 1939. That 39 Yates Cup was the last one awarded for 7 years, as the Second World War necessitated a pause in all university football activities. When the league resumed in 1946, the Mustangs captured 4 of the next 5 provincial titles.
Western's post-war surge continued into the 1950s as they took home four Yates Cups across the decade. Queens was building something special down in Kingston, however, and the Silver 60s would become the most dominant period in program history as the Gaels took home five Yates Cup victories and the 1968 Vanier Cup. Now, despite the fact that both Queens and Western were some of the best teams in Canada for the better part of the last three decades, they had never met in a Yates Cup final, due partially to how the Yates Cup was awarded. That all changed in 1979 when the higher-ranked Mustangs beat the then-defending Vanier Cup champion Gaels 32-14 to kick off a Yates Cup four-peat. Now, this rivalry would cool slightly in the 1980s as conference realignment separated the two teams. This period of relative détente ended in 2001, however, as Queens re-entered the OUA fold. The two programs met in the 2002 playoffs, where the Gaels prevailed 55-20 thanks to an outstanding performance from Tommy Dennison. The teams traded wins throughout the 2000s. Western would eliminate the Gaels in the 2007 playoffs at home, but Queens stormed back in 2008 to crush the Mustangs during homecoming. Then we reach 2009. 30 years after these teams met in the Yates Cup final for the first time, we had an absolute classic where the Gaels would prevail in what many, myself included, feel is the most cathartic Yates Cup win in program history. Now, it's at this point in the rivalry that Western begins to pull away, thanks in large part to top-notch recruiting and outstanding coaching from Greg Marshall. At the time of publication, Queen's last win against the Mustangs was September 15th, 2012. It's been 13 agonizing years of close calls and blowouts. The closest Queen's has come to unseating the Mustangs? September 16th, 2023. A game made infamous by two words.
Hillick draws back the pass. He's airing it out. It's going to be long. No! No!
That 2023 game was the last home meeting between the Gaels and the Mustangs prior to today's game. Can Queens finally snap this 14-game losing streak and score a desperately needed home victory? Or will Western run wild once more? Let's head back to Richardson Stadium for the next part of the Grad Club Halftime Show.
And that has been the operative term here, run wild. That's certainly been Western's offensive intent here in game 102 of this excellent, long-running, historic rivalry. It was a tale of two quarters for the Gaels and the Mustangs. The first quarter was all about Western. They dominated on the ground, they scored the game's first touchdown, and they added a field goal on top of that to give themselves a double-digit lead. The Gaels began to respond towards the end of the first quarter, and they kicked off quarter two with a Mateo Tuioti 30-plus yard touchdown thrown by number 12, Alex Vraken. The Gaels scored another touchdown, this one by number 2, Russell Weir, and added a safety to take a 6-point lead, 16-10. And that's where we currently sit here at Richardson Memorial Stadium, although towards the end of our second quarter, we did see starting quarterback Alex Vraken take a scary hit from behind. A clean hit, an absolute football hit, but one that saw him in a great deal of pain. I will be honest, my heart sank below my trainers here. They were at the soles of my feet, but it looked like before halftime that Vraken was back to his jovial self. So I'm hoping that this was just a bit of a shake and not a break, because this kid, man oh man, has he had a rough go with injury luck. So my fingers are crossed for him, and my buttocks is clenched, because this is a close game. And a great game that matters a great deal, obviously, to both programs. Not just the historic weight that this rivalry holds, but this is week one. And with how good the top teams in the OUA will be, one loss can be the difference between a bye week, a home playoff series, or having to, much like Queens did last year, chance it on the road, try your luck in somebody else's barn. Now, here's the rundown. The Queens defense, after a bit of a slow start, they have looked stout, they have looked formidable, and they have done a great job of limiting this outstanding Western offense. We did see Evan Hillock switch to more of a pass approach towards the end of the second quarter and find a decent amount of success, but their bread has been buttered on the ground. We're going to see what Greg Marshall does in the second half to try and crack this Queens defense. Meanwhile, the Queens offense, up until the end of that second quarter, man, oh man, these guys were hot. They were a great offensive unit that started to be their own worst enemy as we saw multiple penalties tabulated to the offensive line. We're talking holds, we're talking face masks, we're talking false starts. The Gaels lost more yards with penalties than they gained with forward progress towards the end of that second quarter, and that's something that you cannot afford to do against this Western Mustangs team. How do the Gaels close this out? I think they need a couple things to go their way. I think we need a turnover generated by this defense, something to further energize Richardson Stadium. I think we need an explosive special teams play. It doesn't necessarily need to be a touchdown, but we need a big return to give this offense something manageable. And this is no disrespect to Anthony Leo or Luigi Stubert, Tyson Gooden, anybody else in that Queens quarterback room, but I do think we need Alex Vrakin healthy and ready to play for the second half because he has been giving the Mustangs fits with his elusiveness, with his downfield passing, and just with the overall level of calm, poise, and confidence that he brings to this offensive unit. Defensively, goodness gracious, what a debut start we have from number 15, James Gillingham. Not normally a linebacker number, but he's putting some fame and acclaim on his name here. He has been all over the field, a veritable tricolor tornado, tallying tons of tackles. And he's been running lockstep with some of these horses that the Mustangs have on offense. I also want to offer a shout-out to number 55, Stephen Capea. He tallied the first sack of the season for the Gaels, and man, was that an energizing play. That brought Richardson to its feet and really made this crowd believe for perhaps the first time since 2023 that the Gaels can, in fact, topple their titanic adversaries. Look, folks, there is so much to play for in the second half. And the first half, if that's any indication, especially the mid to start of that second quarter, we have got a lot of exciting football still to play here at Richardson Stadium. There's some concerns. There's definitely some concerns. But this Queens team, when they are operating at peak offensive capacity, they are scary. In the past, the Gaels would attempt to establish the run, and the Mustangs would often kind of shut them down. And that's very much been the case here today. The longest run for the Gaels has mostly been from the legs of Alex Vrakin. But Ethan Dahl has also given them a lot of hard-fought first-down yardage. That kid has been dropping the shoulder, twisting through contact, and playing like a man possessed. So what will happen in the second half? Well, I'll be honest with you. Your guess is as good as mine. We've got about 3 minutes before the teams make their way back onto the sidelines and back into the game. And this one is too close to call. These teams have been so evenly matched. Same, same, but different, to borrow the millennial parlance. The Queens' passing game has been so explosive, but the Western running game has paced them effectively and efficiently. Both defenses have done a good job of limiting big plays and clamping down when necessary. I think Western has been slightly better on special teams, at least in terms of kicking and punting. But it's not a wide margin, as Tyler Mullen sends one nearly into the head of his head coach as they make their way out of the inflatable number 18 for the Gaels. Man, you can tell there's tension in my voice, there's nerves in the air, there's everything to play for and everything to lose here at Richardson Stadium. But it looks like we are in store for a second half classic. So why would you want to be anywhere but here? Call your friends, call your family, tell them to tune on in, because we are in store for something potentially historic here on CFRC. Something that could very well shake the foundation of the OUA and U Sports football. Western isn't supposed to lose, and they often don't. But today, they might. And with that, I'm going to throw you to a word from our title sponsor for this year, the Grad Club. Are you looking for that perfect lunch spot on campus? Do you want somewhere that's casual, comfortable, and affordable? Then head on down to the Grad Club at 162 Berry Street. With a warm, inviting atmosphere and an outstanding menu sure to meet any taste or need, the Grad Club will fill both your belly and your spirits. Follow the Grad Club on Instagram at the Grad Club to get the latest and greatest deals and offers. Coming up next, we have got third quarter football action brought to you by the Queens Alumni Review.
Looking for the perfect lunch spot on campus? Do you want somewhere that's casual, comfortable, and affordable? Then head on down to the Grad Club at 162 Berry Street. With a warm, inviting atmosphere and an outstanding set of food.
Folks, a bit of an abrupt transition there, but action's about to heat up here at Richardson, and I will say, it looks like Alex Vrakin, oh, thankfully, is A-OK. Yes, obviously the success of the team is something I'm interested in. I'm a fan, what can you say? But more importantly, like, I just love the kid. I've known him for, my goodness, well over a decade and a half. And you never like to see the people that you know, the acquaintances, your friends, suffer. And once again, just to clarify, this is not like 2023. 2023 was a pretty objectionable hit. This was a totally clean football play. And it looks like, thankfully, Alex Vrakin will be ready for a second half of football action. And I hope you are as well. Can Queens snap a 14-game losing streak against the Western Mustangs? Or will Western continue what has been the most dominant stretch in any rivalry? Certainly one with such high-caliber teams, as Queens is going to field the kick to start things off. Ian St. Arnaud, he's got some space along the left-hand side of the field. Ian St. Arnaud with a 30-plus yard return. I talked about it at halftime, those special teams energizers. And that's one there, as Ian St. Arnaud will give his offense some good starting field position, as yes, indeed, Alex Vrakin is back out on the field, as is number 88, Liam Silverson. Two Kingston kids looking to make key contributions to the hometown team here. Jared Kasari in the backfield. Rare, we haven't called his name much because Queens has mostly been committed to slinging the rock. Let's see what we have here. Trips on the right-hand side. Vrakin is going to pass once more. And he's going to look for Jack Ashby-Jacobs. And Jack Ashby-Jacobs is unable to bring in a beautiful over-the-shoulder touch pass. It was there. It was a difficult but makeable play. Good-looking ball from Alex Vrakin. Definitely a good sign when we were questioning his health after that scary second quarter hit. The arm's still there. And no shade to Jack Ashby-Jacobs. That's a tough ball to bring in. That is a high-caliber advanced play. And when you've missed as many games as Jack Ashby-Jacobs has, you don't have quite that same amount of in-game burn, in-game experience. As he plays, that will come. So here we go, second and 10. Vrakin under pressure. Fumble recovered by the Gales. But this offensive line starting to struggle here. And it looks like that was Jared Kasari with the heads-up play to scoop that fumble on a strip sack. As the Gales have a two and out, and this is something I also talked about. It's really tough to be one-dimensional against this Western team. They're not respecting the run right now because the Gales aren't running the ball. And as a result, Western's pass rushers have had free rein to make moves and make plays. It's a scary situation to deal with as the Gaels cling to a six-point lead here at Richardson Stadium, but they're going to get a great punt from Matt Driver, fielded at the 30-yard line and tackled up after about a 12, not even, 8-yard return. So it'll be first and 10 for the Mustangs from the 38. And I'll be honest, folks, I predicted a high-scoring offensive shootout of sorts, and things have settled a bit as we now have some field position dominant football. And who will prevail? Well, that's anybody's guess at this point. Queens has the lead, but for the last 5 in-game minutes, I think Western has been the better team. And they've got another opportunity here to put points on the board. Evan Hillock has 3 men on the left-hand side. He's going to pass, looking right, and he's going to find his man. That's number 2, Rashawn Blake for the Mustangs, with a quick catch on an out route there. So that'll set up second and about 4 or so, a very manageable conversion distance for the Mustangs. And if I'm the Richardson faithful, I'm getting loud. You need the home crowd here. We've got some vuvuzelas and some cowbells, but not a lot of cheers right now as Hillock is going to hand the ball off to Ethan Dolby and Stephen Capea. Crunch, crush, Special K, Scary Steve. Oh my goodness. At this point, I feel like he's Ethan Dolby's sleep paralysis demon, because he is haunting that boy. No doubt about it, as the Queen's defense answers in kind, trading 2 and outs. Stephen Capea. Man, oh man, we saw him flash just these signs of brilliance at the East-West Bowl. He was so good. He was so dialed in all game long, and that is now paying dividends here at Richardson Stadium. Another outstanding defensive play from Stephen Capea. As this ball is punted away, Ian St. Arnaud has got a lot of time to look at it. A high punt fielded. Makes one man miss. He's trying to break right. Stiff arm. Cuts it up. Ian St. Arnaud will not go quietly into that good night. Once again, a short gain numerically moving forward, but a metric ton of work to get there. Stiff arm, juke, spin. He's so dangerous. If you're interested in out-of-town scores, I can confirm the York Lions, for the first time in a long time, are 1-0 after defeating the McMaster Marauders 31-24 to open their season. Great story there for the York Lions. We'll see them here September 27th. First and 10 for the Gaels after these two teams traded 2 and outs. Going to be from about the 25-yard line as Vraken is going to throw a quick pass, complete for a first down to number 2, Hustle Weir, making a name for himself. Another one of those East-West Bowl standouts. And I'm telling you, the East-West Bowl guys for the Gaels, Pace, Vraken, Weir, and Capea, those have been the 4 leading lights for this tricolor team. As Queens picks up their first down of the second half, it's going to be first and 10 from the Gaels' 40-yard line. 6-point lead, 16-10 ball game here at Richardson Stadium. The third iteration of Richardson Stadium, these two teams played here for the first time at the first Richardson Stadium. Hand off to Jared Kasari up the middle, and that's just a good blue-collar, hard-nosed run, picking up about 6 or 7 there from Jared Kasari, edging ever closer to the midfield mark. These two teams met for the first time October 19th, 1929, a week before the stock market crash. So I'm a little worried to think of what will happen if Queens wins here today. Is it a recession indicator? Is it worth it? I'll take it. Second and 5 from the 45 as Alex Vraken trying to clear up some miscommunication here, giving marching orders to the troops. Matt Camillo in motion, single coverage on the left-hand side. He's going to find Camillo. Camillo with the catch, and that is a first down for your Gaels. Matt Camillo on an out route on the left-hand side of the field. MC8. My goodness. Great, crisp run from Matt Camillo, picking up first down yardage. As this Queens offense Got that loving feeling once more. Jerick Kasari in the backfield. Multiple men in motion. It's going to be a handoff. Fake play action pass. Matt Camillo again on the left-hand side of the field. Out of bounds once more. And one, two straight first downs for Matt Camillo and company, as we do have a Western player down with a cramp. Definitely a cramp. And I get it. It's hot. It's humid. I'm working up a sweat and I'm not doing anything. So with that in mind, let's thank our third quarter sponsor, the Queens Alumni Review. Established in 1927, the Queens Alumni Review has become an integral part of the alumni experience. Over 109,000 subscription-free copies are distributed annually to alumni, like myself, friends of the university, like CFRC, and campus departments, like film and media. There you go. Nice little name check for three friends of the station. And now, a quick word about QAR.
Thank you to our third quarter sponsor, the Queens Alumni Review. Since its establishment in 1927, Alumni Review has spent nearly a century bringing alumni together, building community, and deepening tricolor pride. Over 109,000 subscription-free copies have been distributed to alumni, friends of the university, and campus departments. Thank you to the Queens Alumni Review, nearly a century of literary excellence.
And we are back, folks. Doesn't look like it was a serious injury for the Western player making their way off the field under their own power. It's actually two guys, it looks like. Contagious cramps. Once again, I get it. Hot, humid, heavy. There's a nice breeze, but the breeze ain't always blowing. But this Queens offense is flowing. They have first and 10 inside the Western 40. It's put 38-yard line. Freakin' looking for Preston Martin. He's going to scramble with this one. Go out of bounds, Alex. Good pickup there from number 12, Alex Vraken, scrambling out of bounds on the left-hand side. You can tell I get real gun-shy. I've seen this movie before, folks. Eerily similar, positioning down and distance to 2023, but no hard hit, no injury on that one. Just a smart little duck out of bounds. It's going to be second and 5 from the Western 33. This Queens offense, about 5 yards away from makeable range for Tyler Mullen. But you know, these guys have got a touchdown addiction, and they're jonesing for their fix. Trips on the right-hand side. Multiple men in motion. Alex Vraken's going to be looking for Mateo Tuioti. Oh, he's got to be sick. There is a flag down, however. But that one hit Mateo Tuioti right in the chest and bounced harmlessly to the turf. But it looks like there is going to be an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on number 25, Richard Abdufor, who does not look happy about it, but is screaming at the Queens sideline. Keep him talking, coach. Get yourself another 15 yards on top of that. That's going to be a first down for the Gales as Richard Abdufor shooting himself in the foot mentally and perhaps giving a crucial first down. And he just picked up another one, and he might be out of this ball game. Let's see. Richard Abdufor, brain neutral, picking up two unsportsmanlike conduct calls for his team. And this is a fifth-year veteran leader. You ought to know better than that, Richard. That's frustrating. Yeah, I'm a homer, but that's really frustrating to see a player of that caliber make a decision like that. He's such a good player. Just keep your mouth shut. I'd be saying the exact same thing if it was someone the likes of a Keegan Vanek on Queens. Let your play do the talking. You don't need to get into a shouting match with the opposing team's coach. And that's going to cost them now 25 total yards. That puts Queens first and 10 from about the 13-yard line. We've got three receivers on the right-hand side. It's going to be a handoff to Jerick Kasari. Jerick Kasari fighting forward. Great gain, Jared Kasari, picking up about 6 to set up second and manageable. At a crucial junction in the game here, the Gales lead 16-10. They've scored 16 unanswered. And there he is, the cannon doll, Ethan Dahl, in the ball game, looking to power, pave, and run over Western defenders. We've seen him do it before. Can he do it again? Number 28. That's who I'm putting the ball in the hands of. Hard count there by Vraken. Second and 3 from about the 10. The Gales are close, but they need to get closer. And Ethan Dahl is going to pick them up a yard or two, but I don't think he's got enough for first down yardage. But we are waiting for the definitive call from the officials. If the Gales get this, so it's third and short. Whoa. And this is a really tricky play call to make. And they are going to go for it. Third and short after a second and three pickup about a yard and a half. Holy moly, this could be a huge, huge play here as Russell Weir is going to be under center to try and pick this up. And he's going to break it forward, and that's going to be close. It's a first down either way, but is it going forward for Queens or back for Western? Richardson Stadium awaits. 9,000 breaths held collectively, and oh my goodness, they're calling in the sticks. So we will not have resolution right away. I think he may have got it by a nose. But who cares what I think? It's what those gentlemen in the black and white stripes say. And if Queens gets this first down, it would take a Seven Nation Army to stop them from scoring six. And they get the first! Reminiscent of his lead-taking touchdown in 2023. Russell Weir fights for every inch again as the Gales are within striking distance of taking their first two-score lead against Western since, I don't know, the Harper administration? It's been a while. 8 minutes to go here in our third quarter of football action. Queens lead 16-10, first and goal from the three-yard line. I like Jared Kasari on this play. He's in the backfield. That's who I'm giving the ball to. But it's going to be a rollout. Braken doesn't have the angle. He's skying this to net. Jack Ashby Jacobs would have had it, but he was far out of bounds. Okay. I like the play call. I do. Play action, so they fake the handoff to Kasari. Braken rolls to the right-hand side. Similar to how they scored earlier with Russell Weir on that little flat route. This time, though, and this is a throw I think Alex Braken would have tried last year and not been successful. So I love that he went to his second read in the progression and he threw a ball that nobody was going to catch. Second and three from the three. 6-point lead, and you could hear a pin drop at Richardson Stadium as the Gales try to take a two-score lead against the Western Mustangs. Another pass from Braken. Over the middle. Pass interference. And is that Richard Abdufour again? Man, Richard Abdufour might not have to buy a drink in Kingston for the rest of his life if he keeps this up. You want to know who the greatest offensive gainer for the Gales have been on this drive? It's number 25 in purple. As that looks like it might indeed be pass interference. As they're going to bring Russell Weir in. Second verse, same as the first. It is indeed pass interference, first and goal. Okay, let's do this all over again. Let's run it back, but let's run it right. As the Gales, oh my goodness, they've been on the goal line for every second feels like an hour. But I'd much rather they be there than Western be at their end. Russell Weir in the ball game. Can he repeat the 2023 magic? Oh, it's going to be close. Russell Weir fighting, clawing, inching his way forward. And it's going to be second and goal. With less than 7 minutes to go here in our third quarter of football action, the Gales are knock, knock, knocking on the door of 6 points, leading 16-10. And if they get this, I think they're going for two. That is my honest belief. They got to try and make this a multi-score lead going into the fourth quarter. So here we go. Second and one from the one. Thanks to 40 yards of penalties from Richard Abdufour in particular. As Russ must fall forward once more. He breaks it right. See ya! Touchdown, Queens! Hustleweir! Hustleweir! Touchdown number two for Queens number two. And Western, for the first time in a long time, is behind the eight ball. And they did it to themselves. DJ, play my favorite song. Mullen makes it a 23-10 deficit. My goodness gracious. Whew. You can't count on a drive like that again, but they made it count when they got it, as Hustleweir, the Swiss Army knife, Mr. Do-It-All, a touchdown on the ground, a touchdown through the air. I love this kid. 6 minutes and 20 seconds to go here in our third quarter, as the Gaels lead. No, don't check your sets. That is true. The Gaels lead 13 points, 23 to 10. We do have, and this I hate seeing this, we do have number 46, Jeremy Hiscox, limping off the field. Looks like it may not be anything too serious. Maybe a bruise, maybe a strain. But he is definitely loping his way off the field as the Gaels are sprinting ahead. I couldn't tell you the last time the Gaels had a two-score lead over Western. Feels like it never happens. But it only has to happen maybe one more time this year. Maybe one more time this year. We'll see. We'll see. That would be great for me. It really would. As Matt Driver is on to try and pin the Mustangs deep. A series of inspired play calls by the Gaels offensive staff have put their team up by two scores. It's a 23-10 lead. Oh man, oh man. Oh mama. I'm almost out of things to say, because I didn't expect this to happen. maybe it's the heat stroke. Maybe it's feeling giddy for the first time since I was but a small boy. But we got a lot of football game left, as we have got a strangely long kickoff delay. I'm not totally sure what the situation is, but I can hear lots of expletives. And that usually means football things are happening. Third quarter brought to you by Queens Alumni Review. Gale's giving them lots to write about here, as Matt Driver's going to kick that one into the shallow part of the western end zone. But oh my goodness! Two Gaels collide with the Western returner. Is that Jeremy? Ah, that's frustrating. That's a good call by the refs. Jeremy Hiscox and Keegan Vanek laid the hit, and they were talking too much smack. That's absolutely the right call by the officials there. I told you. I'll call it out when I see it. That's the right call by the officials. This game's going to get ugly if you don't clamp down on that from both sides. So frustrating. They made a great play. Let your play do the talking, young man. Let your play do the talking. Great call from the officials there. You will hear no grief from me. The Gaels are going to give the Mustangs an additional 15 yards for UC unsportsmanlike conduct. Love you, Jeremy. Love you, Jeremy. Great player. Great kid. Dumb decision there. Being very honest. You know what? I think I'm a little more balanced than last time these two teams played. So I've got to call a spade, and call a stang a stang. And right now the Stangs are definitely switching to a pass mode here, as Evan Hillock is going to drop back to pass. He's got OJ and Stephen Capea working with him, and that's a completion to Braden Mazzieri along the sideline. Toe tag touch to pick up the first down, and this is what scares me. I like it when they run the ball. I don't like it when they start slinging it. That's what scares me. as the Queen's defense, after getting a dozen body shots from this Western heavyweight, the Mustangs are swinging haymakers here with a deep pass, the longest play of the day for the Mustangs. Not Evan Hillock's best thrown ball, but he put it where it needed to be, as it's first and 10 Western in Queens territory. This will be at the 46-yard line. Hillock, play action pass. He's looking, but he is airmailing that one. Evan Hillock not having his strongest game. And it's going to be second and 10 from the Queens 46, and we need another one like that. Hillock feeling the pressure. He has lost one career regular season game, and it was against the Laurier Golden Hawks last year. He's lost a couple times in the playoffs, but we're talking against, like, top-tier competition. But in OUA regular season competition, only one team has bested Evan Hillock, and it was last year's Yates Cup champion, the Laurier Golden Hawks. This kid is good.